Well, whether it's hot, whether it's cold, whether it's hot, Frankie's got the weather we got. Wait a minute. Well, whether it's cold, whether it's hot, Frankie's got the weather, whether or not. There it is.
Good morning, Prince George, and good afternoon, Winnipeg. You're listening to the Cometeorological Report. That's comedy plus meteorology, your comedy weather show, your show to complain about how much the weather sucks in Canada and beyond. The weather is funny business. I'm your host, Joey Only. I'm out here in a logging camp 200 kilometers west of Quesnel, enjoying the cold weather, and cold weather it has been. Just finished working a block today. We've been 6 weeks in, stumbling over deadfall trees. It's been brutal. We had two malfunctions on our one snowmobile trying to get out today out of the bush, and ended up towing the thing out. And it was just nice to, like, if we got to tow our sleds out of here, it's like the sleds made it to the very last minute of working in that block. And boy, we're glad to be out. But I do like working in the cold weather when it's minus 10, minus 20 is perfect. I stay dry. I don't sweat very much. The snow is really lovely right now in the bush. And sure, you got to be pretty tough to enjoy it, but enjoy it I do. We have lots of weather news, of course, for our listeners in British Columbia on CFIR 88.7 FM in Prince George. We got all kinds of snow coming through BC this weekend and bad weather. Of course, there's a minus 40 wind chill up in the Peace region tonight. You're suffering up in Fort St. John, Dawson Creek tonight. So, and it's going to stay that way in through the weekend into Saturday and beyond, probably. So lots to talk about there. We do have Brandon Houck, our radio weatherman. He'll talk about Western Canada some. We have Gabriel Berardo in Southern Ontario already on board with us, and he's had some major windstorms he's seen. Peter Glenko's down in the States. He'll join us. For our listeners in Winnipeg on CKUW 95.9 FM, who hear us on Monday afternoon at noon. Unfortunately, our Joe Stover, our Winnipeg reporter, will not be with us again tonight, but he's coming next week. He's on a Via Rail train right now. But who we do have is
Frankie, the weatherman. Frankie, the weatherman.
Who?
Frankie.
Who?
Frankie.
Ladies and gentlemen, Frankie.
The world famous Frankie McDonald, the world famous weatherman himself in Sydney, Nova Scotia. Nova Scotia, which crossed 1 million people in its province today, the first Atlantic province to have 1 million people. Frankie McDonald, how are you doing in Sydney, Nova Scotia tonight?
I'm doing great so far. I just came back from the walk, and did you hear about that? And it's drizzling out in Sydney, Nova Scotia right now.
Here comes the story of the hurricane.
The Philippines is getting hit by a typhoon. They had a tornado in Iowa. It was really, really bad. They had a tornado. Then it's going to rain on Thursday night and Friday night morning in Sydney, Nova Scotia. In Nova Scotia and up around Toronto, Ontario, those places get really high winds once again in Toronto, Ontario.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, really, really, really have been.
And they had reports of hail somewhere in the States. They had a large hail somewhere in Missouri and those places with very strong winds. Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, Colorado, all the way down in Mexico. Los Angeles had a lot of rain this week.
What about the tornadoes last week, Frankie?
It was really, really, really bad. Flat in the Kentucky town. It was completely destroyed. Amazon warehouse got completely flattened by a tornado because it was so strong there. And Indonesia had a 7.3 magnitude earthquake a few days ago. I got my prediction right.
Nice.
I saw that. Frank predicted a 7.0 earthquake, and there was a 7.3 earthquake. So he was right on the money there. That's amazing.
I mean, that 0.3 is still magnitude stronger, but hey, 7.3, we'll give it to that. So Frankie, tell us about... While we have you fully at attention, tell us about weather in Europe this week.
Over in Europe, there's a giant high-pressure system, intense high-pressure system over in England. In Scotland, that's bringing a lot of stormy weather up around Norway, Finland, with all the snow in the mountains and rain in the coastal areas. It's going to turn to snow and things like that. Bringing a lot of cold weather in Japan, including Tokyo, Japan, and places like that. It's getting really, really hot in Northern Australia, including Sydney, Australia, where Jason lives. And they're bringing lots of hail, rain, and thunderstorms there right now because their summer starts on Tuesday. Same with New Zealand. North Island, New Zealand had a lot of rain earlier in the week.
What happened in Australia with the Bouncy Castle disaster yesterday?
It was really, really bad. And guess what? I got my haircut today. I just sent you a high-resolution photo of me.
I got that.
I heard you had a professional photo shoot this week, Frankie.
John Rashford, the professional photographer, took pictures of me on Tuesday, December 14th. That's new before I got my haircut.
You need to get the after picture too, then. Before and after. Frankie, what's going on in Russia this week?
Really, really, really cold in Omiakon, Russia, and all these places. There's a zombie virus going on in Siberia because the virus is still burning underneath the snow there.
Yep, and they'll pop up in the spring.
They'll pop up in the spring. It's going to cause more fires again next summer in Siberia.
And that's common. The more, especially when you get a lot of snow, you think that would put some of the fires out, but sometimes that insulates them just extra nice and keeps it cooking down there in the dry roots, especially if the top layer is nice and frozen. So Frankie, anything else about Canada you want to say about our weather this week? British Columbia is getting a lot of snow.
That means it's going to be really, really cold. If there's Nunavut's getting a snowstorm where Frank Reardon is, Iqaluit Nunavut, where professional photographer Frank Reardon is at, he takes pictures of nature up in Iqaluit. He's getting a lot of snow right now.
Must be bitterly cold up there. Yes. Anything about British Columbia you can think of, Frankie?
More rain ahead for Victoria, British Columbia this weekend.
This is Frankie McDowell, my own TV station live in Sydney, Nova Scotia. Major storm with heavy rain headed towards Vancouver Island on Saturday, December 18th, 2021. It's going to bring up to 30-plus millimeters of rain in Vancouver Island, including Tofino, British Columbia, and the west coast of Vancouver Island. Winds are going to be really strong on the west coast of Vancouver Island. It's going to bring a lot of rain in Victoria, British Columbia, Sauk, British Columbia, Port Renfrew, British Columbia, including Duncan, British Columbia, Ladysmith, British Columbia, Nanaimo, British Columbia, Parksville, British Columbia, Quimicon Beach, Courtney, Comox, Canberra, River, Port McNeil, Port Hardy, British Columbia. It's going to bring a lot of snow up in the mountains. And heavy snow up in the mountains of Vancouver Island. That's a higher terrain and higher altitude. It's going to bring a lot of pollution straight to Vancouver Island, including Victoria, British Columbia, Nanaimo, British Columbia, and the surrounding areas, including Parksville, Quimicon Beach, Courtney, Comox, Port Hardy, and Canberra River. It's going to bring a lot of rain. That could cause some flooding possible in Vancouver Island, including Victoria, British Columbia, surrounding areas as well. People in Vancouver Island, be prepared. Have your rubber boots ready, rain clothes ready. When you go outside, wear your rain gear, wear your rain clothes to keep you dry. Make sure every device is charged. Make sure every cell phone, smartphones, and laptops and tablets charged. And have your mobile internet ready as well. Make sure to stay away from the beaches and don't go near the shores of Vancouver Island. It's going to bring a lot of rain in Vancouver Island, including Victoria, British Columbia, and the surrounding areas as well. Since it's going to bring a lot of rain in Vancouver Island, don't walk through the puddles. Avoid the puddles when you go for a walk. If you have anybody live in Vancouver Island, British Columbia, be prepared for major storm or heavy rain on Saturday, December 18, 2021. Take care, stay safe. Don't get caught in heavy rain. Stay dry, be safe.
And Vancouver, British Columbia is getting a lot of rain again because another low pressure system headed for there.
That's right. And we got weather warnings all along the west. We have special weather statements for places. North Thompson could see 40 centimeters in some locations, but I think 15 to 30 is the prediction for most of that region, southeastern BC, sort of. Then you have the Cariboo, Prince George, again, looking at 10 to 20, maybe more centimeters. Definitely freezing cold in the Peace region. And winter storm warning right now going on in the north coast, and that there's a winter storm watch for the Bulkley Valley and the Lakes area, but I'm sure that will be upgraded to a warning soon enough. Brandon Helk, you've been watching the weather in Western Canada. Of course, we want to hear what you have to say about Western Canada entirely, but I'd love to hear your whole take on the Quad State tornado tragedy and what you witnessed last week. And, of course, Gabriel and anyone who has anything to pitch in as we go. Yeah. And, we'll come into Canadian weather and fully dedicate that at some point, but I want to open this discussion really because I know our weather listeners are curious.
Yes, last Friday we had a pretty significant storm system develop in the southern parts of the United States. Actually, it was a Colorado low that developed coming out of Colorado, and they've been kind of dry lately too, so they've finally got some precipitation out of that. But the Colorado low moved its way across and it tapped into some energy from the Gulf of Mexico along with the colder air to the north, which is quite typical, especially for all season long, especially in that section of the United States, and even all year long, too. It all has to set up perfectly, and it sure did this time around with supercell thunderstorms that erupted in the state of Arkansas, producing a tornado, a couple of tornadoes that night, Friday night. And this tornado touched down in Arkansas and it stayed on the ground as it probably at least 200 miles as it moved its way into Kentucky that evening. And I think there's a couple other tornadoes as well. And they just got the ratings out for that one tornado today, actually. In Mayfield, it was an EF4 that touched down, a tragic EF4 tornado. Lots of lives were lost in that as well. And I think another, Bowling Green, Kentucky also got a rating of EF4 with the separate tornado that touched down there back on Friday. So significant damage, and they're still investigating that damage. And I think, tornado even, the damage is unbelievable, especially in Mayfield. So they got hit really hard back on Friday.
And
yeah.
The worst damage I've heard was in Bremen, Kentucky, where I seen images of not only houses swept off foundations, but foundations ripped out of the ground. So I know that Tim's not done his look through all the damage areas, and there's a lot of speculation amongst the storm watching community and storm chasers that there's going to be EF5 ratings put down somewhere. Apparently over 30 tornadoes touched down in different places in this outbreak, the Quad State tornado. Reed Timmer was suggesting this week that the long track tornado that went 250 miles may have actually cycled. It may have been two separate tornadoes, but he believes there was one on the ground the whole time. He points out that the 1925 tornado probably did the same thing. And then the question was posed on the Weather Network, you know, could we have long track tornadoes in Canada? And of course, before I even read the article, I said, well, the Tottenham tornado of 1985 and, you know, that was not the Barrie tornado, but the one that happened south of there, Grand River Tottenham tornado. It went over 100 kilometers. And it cycled and then produced a second tornado. If it hadn't, maybe you would have had a track of 150 kilometers if it had just been one on the ground the whole time. I remember the damage well as a kid because I grew up in Southern Ontario.
This year, I think we actually had a record, I think, number of EF2s, I think, in Southern Ontario. Record, like a record. I think it was 13, maybe 14. I'm honestly really, really, really not sure. But there was either of course, where it doesn't really matter how much it was because it was a record number. Which obviously just broke the last record, which I'm obviously, of course, which I'm also not exactly sure, but I mean, it's years of data, right? I mean, look, are they of course getting worse? Is there of course more each and every like year? Well, I mean, still of course a question to be of course answered. As the years and years go by. But I mean, like the last like two or three years, it have really, 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 really have been, you know what I mean, active up here in the summer. We're averaging tornadoes like 45 maybe, I think, or like something like that.
The number was really, very really, really high bad. This year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Look, most of them have actually fell in like the fall also. I mean, like you look at like the fall, right? Like the fall like outbreaks, right? I mean, like it's nuts because like when you have so like a lot of like shear, and even though there was low energy, like it really, really, really spun up these storms. Like it was really like big, and I was just like just there on radar kind of, and then it was like you look at these radar like signatures. I mean, it's something that you would actually see in the southern U.S. I mean, right? Like it's
in Ontario, we have seen at times EF3 and EF4 strength. We've never seen an EF5 in Ontario. There has been one EF5 in Canada. Does anybody other than Brandon know where that EF5 tornado happened?
I mean, a thought that like I. Okay, because I heard about it, but I mean, like, I'm not really sure where. I'm not just gonna start saying a random place.
British Columbia.
yeah.
Definitely not BC.
I think so.
Weatherman, yeah. Brandon Houck, where was the EF5 tornado in Canada?
Yeah, tell us.
Eli, Manitoba. Meteorologist Justin Hobson.
That was in 2000.
2000.
Oh, sorry, what were you saying?
That'd be late 2000, early, about 2008.
2007. There are polar bears in Manitoba, so they're. What, imagine a polar bear flying into your home from a tornado. That would be terrifying.
Yeah. Eli, Manitoba is nowhere near the polar bears. It's, sort of sort of in the southwestern corner. And that was in 2007. And my favorite tornado chaser, Reed Timmer, was actually there for that one. The odds of that, that to me was like, not only you maybe you're one of the greatest tornado chasers of all time, Reed, but the fact that you came to Canada and caught our only EF5, I mean, that puts a serious asterisk next to your name. I have personally seen a tornado in Manitoba myself, as a matter of fact, pretty close to the Eli area.
Reed so Timmer is geared happen. Up for next spring tornado season.
Yesterday, Reed Timmer and all the storm chasers were busy once again, and I'll go back to Brandon. Brandon, tell us about the DeRoe show. This bizarre event happened yesterday in the States where when you look at the satellite image, you have to the east side of the image, you have Minnesota being caught by this line of storms that went through Omaha and Iowa. And then to the sort of northwest of that was snow squalls. And then directly south of that was this dust storm that looked like something out of the 1930s, like straight up. Classic, except it was in color. South of that was in Kansas and Oklahoma, there was some wildfires that kicked off in an area that's never had wildfire activity like this in December, never had a wildfire warning, and they had these 100 mile per hour winds, 160 kilometer per hour, that pushed these wildfires, damaging wildfires. It was chaos in just a small spot in the middle of the United States map, all these things happening at once. Brandon, can you tell us about this event?
Yes, big time, mid-latitude cyclone. Actually, this was part of the atmospheric river that hit California a couple of days ago with quite a bit of rain for the coast there. They've had some flooding rains and some big-time snow, so this atmospheric river moved over the Rocky Mountains, became a pretty intense mid-latitude cyclone, which was dropped down to, I think, the pressure 983 millibars yesterday, sitting right in the smack dab center of Nebraska there. And we had pretty much intense. It started off yesterday morning, actually, which was December 15th, as snow squalls coming out of Colorado. And the day before, if I talked to someone else who had family down near Boulder, Colorado, they say it was so warm there. They felt the humidity. It felt like the middle of a summer day back on a couple of days ago in Colorado. And then this big old monster snow squall came out of the mountains that morning. And it was pretty impressive indeed. And it acted kind of like a morning thunderstorm, but it was a pretty impressive snow squall there that rolled across Colorado. And then that snow squall continued to push its way eastwards, kicking up the winds and causing that blowing dust starting off in Colorado and then pushing through Nebraska and down through Kansas as well. It was the dust was unreal, and they had blowing dust storm warnings, actually. So that was pretty impressive, too. And winds were clicking at 100 to 110 kilometers an hour, which is pretty very strong wind. So you had damage. You had I saw a video of a shed rolling down the road or rolling down the field, something like that. So that was kind of in, I think that was Nebraska or something. So that was those winds that really kicked up there. And then the fires that developed because the soil, and they're kind of in drought conditions in that area down by in Kansas into Oklahoma. So you get those very dry conditions, and you have the fuel for the fires, which is that wind. And plus any sparks or anything like that, you get a big fire like just like that wildfire. We've seen it happen here in Alberta, actually, quite a few times where you get these very strong winds, Chinook winds, and then grass fires break loose and rush across the prairies. And with prairie grass and fires really like that prairie grass, that very dry prairie grass, and it just goes off like mad. So
that happened in Clairsville this spring, and that fire actually burnt six buildings on my old friend Malcolm McLean, a cowboy who I've cowboyed with, his property down there.
Yeah, it was a couple of years ago. Happened here. It was just out by Buffalo, Alberta, there, and it was in the middle of the night, which was even worse. And they've put out emergency alerts and stuff for this wildfire that is just rushing through the prairie, heading towards farmhouses and farmers' fields. And the neighbors had to knock on this guy's door to get them up and going so that he can get out of his house before it burnt down. So that was a few years ago, actually. So it was the same scenario that happened in Oklahoma there, but during the daytime. So they were all aware and they were all able to evacuate yesterday. In Guymon, Oklahoma, it was really close to that community there. I think the city of Guymon, almost got hit with that fire. But luckily, the wind shifted and allowed that fire to just veer by the city. Just a couple of houses and farms got hit by that one. So that was a fire situation. And then with the same deal from last week, severe weather event, you have that cold Arctic air dropping in from the north, and we were quite cold out of the prairies, and then you got that Gulf of Mexico moisture driving in from the south, and those two air masses clash, and usually in the springtime that means big storms, and then we had this happen in December instead, and we have a severe weather event. Derecho developed in Nebraska, started off with very strong thunderstorms, and then they quickly developed into rapid linear activity. It was supercell activity that rolled across Nebraska into Iowa, producing tornadoes, and then eventually into Minnesota and Wisconsin before the storms fizzled out over Lake Superior there last night. And even Thunder Bay, I think Thunder Bay, Ontario had warning criteria winds last night as well. So that is a first for them in the month of December. Should mention that before those storms really started to weaken as they moved off the lakes and into northern Ontario, the cold air of northern Ontario there. So that was last night with the storms, and a lot of damage reported there. I think Ruby, Iowa, took the biggest damage there that I saw for the community there, and they're going to be investigating that tornado. I think so far they put that as an EF1, but they might have to investigate that area a little bit more. Any other areas I can think of here, we've had quite a few reports of tornadoes in Minnesota as well. This is the first ever tornado in the state of Minnesota in the month of December, which is actually pretty incredible as well. So that was the and their first ever tornado warning in the month of December too, because that's how far north this whole setup came, and just to the southwest of or southeast of Minneapolis there. So they had thunderstorms there, but they didn't get severe limits in the Minneapolis-St. Paul metropolitan area. Then the storms moved off into Wisconsin and still produced those damaging winds. And some of these storms were actually moving. I think I got a report a tornado was moving at 100 miles an hour last night. So they were very quick movers. You did not have much time to spare if you had to get to shelter with these fast-moving storms. You at seconds or minutes. So we're kind of lucky that wasn't the event on Friday compared to what we were dealing with last night, but still we had tornadoes. And so far I don't have any reports of any injuries from this event of that I've heard of so far, so that might be a good
five killed I've heard. That's what five. I saw on Global News tonight, so
okay.
I don't know how or why, but yeah, so we were just seeing unprecedented weather in wave after wave. When I made my weather video on YouTube this week, there was that sort of moment. I was just basically looking at temperatures, and there's a moment on Wednesday where you see like this big green blob suddenly just jut up into the middle of the American plains. And I was like, without even looking at that, I could tell what that's going to lead to. And surely it did. For everyone listening on CFER 88.7 FM and CKUW 95.9 FM, I did forget to mention that we record the show. This is Thursday night. We're recording on the 16th of December. We'll be playing on the 18th in Prince George and the 20th in Winnipeg. So you're going to be hearing past weather stories, a synopsis of some of the big weather stories this week. And we'll look ahead to some of the weather stories that are going to develop this weekend and next week. We'll come back to you, Brandon, on that. But I also want to get back to, we kind of cut Gabriel off earlier, but we had some major windstorms in Ontario this last weekend. And so maybe more of that action this weekend too. Can you sort of tell us about your experience of the wind?
Saturday this was. This time, of course, I'm going to get it, right? So, So it was on Saturday, same exact low that impacted the U.S. I think on Friday night.
Bald State tornado.
It impacted with like the, right. So the same exact low, deep in like a lot. It was like a 976 millibar, I think, low, or like a 978, something like that. And it brought major, major, major winds. There was, I think, 200,000 people without power here in the province. It was like huge, okay? But I mean, look, luckily, of course, here there wasn't too much damage. I mean, I started to see a few shingles slowly kind of, you know, moving off people's kind of roofs. Although of course, like, haven't seen any on the ground yet. Okay, but I mean, look, all these older trees kind of maybe like they kind of, you know, fell. I mean, it's like, it's easily, I mean, right? I mean, these older, you know, trees, like they obviously could of course fall with these winds. I also think the highest winds on this were 130 kilometers. That was, I think, somewhere on the shore of the lake area. I think it was really, 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 like, you know what I mean, like strong. Of course, they're inland, I think, winds. Toronto, 96 or 97 kilometers. And then there was, of course, those, you know, most of, I think, the province had, I think, got over, I think, 85 kilometers. So I mean, yeah, I mean, it was actually really, 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 you know, bad. Woke up with the warm front moving in. And after, of course, that, once all the clouds cleared, it was warm, man. I felt like I was chasing a summer, like, storm setup here, but it was in the middle of later fall, right? And it was, like, only, like, 13 or 14 days until Christmas. And, like, it feels like a summer, like, morning. I mean, like, you're out there, and it's nice. I mean, it's a little bit gusty. And then that cold front moved in, and then a quick second, once like the front moved over, you could actually feel the air, like the air actually change with it. So I mean, it went from like kind of like warm to like a slightly colder wind. That just, of course, shows you how exactly strong this front was. And then, of course, along the front end,
it's been really shocking at some of the warm temperatures you've been seeing. I mean, we had in Penticton at the start of the month some, you know, nearly 20 plus degree weather. But you had some, you know, you're approaching that. And as we're recording the show, it's 7:30 at night in British Columbia, but it's that makes it 10:30 at night in Quebec. And St. Annis in Quebec right now is 16.3 degrees Celsius. And it's, you know, pushing onto 11 o'clock at night there. So we're seeing really warm temperatures at times, again, fluctuating in, even though that some of us are caught in this massive cold air. The massive cold air that's, you know, if you look at Earth from outer space and you were to see where the coldest winter air is, it's not that big, really. I mean, it's deep, but it's not. Winter hasn't taken over the entire northern hemisphere the way it's capable of doing. So we're seeing some really warm temperatures. How warm do you think it was during those windstorms?
Niagara Falls hit a high of about 19 Celsius. Here was about 15, maybe 16 Celsius. Today also, high of about 15 or 16 Celsius. Like 5 to 6 days later, like, you're still, you know, getting these highs, and it's closer to Christmas. It actually, of course, should be kind of, you know, snowing at this point. And actually, of course, the snow actually will be, of course, coming I think on Saturday. We have like a little like system moving in, 5 to 10 centimeters of that nice fresh snow. But I mean, look, also of course, the same exact low that Brandon was talking about that brought that huge whatever it was again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look, right, the ratio squalls and the dust storm, same exact low impacted us earlier with also some pretty strong winds. I wasn't a wind warning, but I mean, like, it was actually for kind of certain areas, and it wasn't really sustained winds. It was like a kind of gusty, like, you know what I mean, like a gust over here, gust over there, kind of. And I kind of, you know, I Toronto, I think somewhere in the city reported a gust of about 96 kilometers. Once, it was warm. It was kind of like Saturday, although of course Saturday's low was more, of course, south, and had, of course, more of a impact on the temperatures and also the wind. It's really like nuts, okay? Because like, you don't really usually see this type of weather in this month. I mean, like, it's really, really, really nuts. I think I was outside playing some basketball earlier on.
Juxtapose that to our forecast of Prince George here. When you're looking at Saturday, December 18th, minus 10 snowfall, nighttime minus 12 snowfall, Sunday periods of snow minus 9. Of course, a special weather statement is in effect for Prince George and surrounding areas right now. Nighttime on Sunday minus 12, 60% chance of flurries. And then we start to dive a little bit into our cold snap that's coming into Christmas here in BC. Monday, it's going to be a high of minus 11 and sunny, according to Environment Canada, minus 26 at night. Tuesday, high of minus 20. Nighttime, about minus 22. So the temperature's not going to fluctuate much between night and day because that cold's just going to basically settle in. And then Wednesday, again, minus 17, a high of minus 17, Wednesday, December 22nd. So cold weather for Prince George, as you know. Definitely, when you're thinking about how many people are experiencing record warmth, that's not been the case here in Western Canada. And of course, our friends in Winnipeg, they're looking at, check out some of these balmy temperatures, a minus 17 high on Saturday of sun and cloud, minus 21 at night, minus 8. That's your warm day, Sunday, minus 8 for you. And of course, you'll be hearing this on Monday, the 20th of December. So we might as well make extra emphasis, high of minus 18 for you today. In Winnipeg, minus 27 at night, minus 21 on flurry with 30% chance of Tuesday with a 30% chance of flurries, minus 26 at night, Wednesday, a high of minus 20. So Western Canada is into a cold spell. Brandon, how can you talk to us about Western Canada's cold spells? And you had a blizzard warning yesterday on Wednesday, the 15th, all across the prairies. Just talk to us about some of the prairie weather this last week and next week and beyond.
Yeah, so last week we saw the big change come in last, I'd say late day Friday. We had our last little Chinook, and then all of a sudden the cold air just started to drape, just roll its face in. But last Saturday, actually, last Saturday was the day we had the Chinook, last Chinook, and then temperatures just started to plummet as we go into the beginning of this week here. We had our first couple of clipper systems go through central regions of the province here, drop about 10 to 15 centimeters of snow this week. Central northern parts of the province. Edmonton got a pretty good burst of snow earlier this week, at least 15 to 20 centimeters of snowfall on the ground there. So a very welcome sight for the city of Edmonton. And that band of snow continues to work its way across the prairies and becoming a pretty nasty blizzard in Churchill today. With I got to check out those wind speeds today. Gusts over 90K, but I think they've definitely reached blizzard criteria there. They're still under that blizzard warning, and temperatures are just plummeting there as well. So it's about minus 21, wind chills minus 37, north-northwest wind at 55, gusting to 65 kilometers an hour. And they've had at least 4 hours of blizzard conditions through the day today, and they've gusted at least 80 to 90 a time. So it's been a big, it's definitely been a stormy day in Churchill today for the polar bears, that's for sure. And they're going to see those wind chills drop to the minus 40s tonight, and probably minus 44 by tomorrow afternoon in Churchill. So the blizzard conditions will end, and we'll see the cold continue to drop in from the north. Now, here, we're also going to be seeing those cold temperatures. We've got Arctic high taking over. We've had a burst of snow move across the southern part of the province today on the 16th with an upper trough, and that is producing about 2 to 5 centimeters. So not a big snowmaker, but the winds right now, they're just whistling out there. Gust over 50 to 60 K. So that's allowing for blowing and drifting snow out in the highways tonight. So, and then temperatures are dropping. Our current wind chill right now in Brooks is about, temperature's minus 18, but with the wind chill makes it feel like minus 31 outside. So frostbite can develop. Good. Within 15 to 30
thermometer
minutes.
Here at camp is minus thermometer here at camp's minus 18 as well right now.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, I beat you with the wind chill though, with the minus 31.
Yeah, so, it's pretty still here.
Very cold conditions tonight, and we will see the wind chill values approach minus 40 to minus 45 tonight north of Calgary. And areas right around Peace River, Alberta, could see those wind chills dip to minus 50 tonight. So the first real, real deal of cold air moves through tonight. And then that next Pacific system moves on to the BC coast. So this is when things start to get weird again, where we have a reverse temperature trend Saturday night into Sunday. So the temperatures, instead of, well, after bottoming out in the morning, they're in the minus 20s, near minus 30, you're going to see the temperature actually rise through the day a little bit, probably about minus 10, minus 5 or so in the afternoon. And then the temperatures will continue to rise by Saturday night with the Chinook flow that comes out of the mountains. And I think we may have wind gusts of 9,200 K in southwestern Alberta. That's that classic Chinook flow there. But it's only going to be very, very brief, though. So this temperatures actually will rise above the melting point Saturday night. And then by Sunday morning, the next cold front comes through at 6 in the morning after rising above freezing. And then we'll see the temperature fall back to the minus teens by the middle of the day. So you may sleep through the warm spell there in southern Alberta brief. And it will also warm up in Saskatchewan briefly, in Manitoba afterwards. But yeah, it's going to be a weird weekend here. And then we'll see a blast of snow come through Sunday and the Monday into Tuesday of next week with maybe another 5 to 10-ish centimeters before the real deal cold air moves in for the Christmas time there. And saw models earlier hinting at temperatures into the minus 30s for Christmas Day.
I do see an asterisk next to the minus 17 Celsius for Friday, December 17th in Prince George. It's the asterisk denotes an abnormal temperature trend. One person who hasn't said anything in a while on this podcast, Frankie, is Peter Galanko.
Oh, Peter.
Who, and Frankie as well. We haven't asked Peter. I don't think Peter Galanko's ever experienced frostbite.
I have. I've been up in your parts before in Canada. And out west, Whistler, places like that, but not quite frostbite. No, sir, not frostbite. Thank heavens.
Doesn't feel good, just saying.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine it don't. And no risk of frostbite down here in Virginia. Earlier today, I was about to go drive somewhere, and it was below freezing the other day, so I grabbed my jacket, and I went outside, and today, and still in the evening, it was like a full-on summer day in the 70s, and I immediately took my jacket off, but it was, we're going to have some cold weather here soon, but it was, I was like, did I forget what month it is, or what's going on, because it was a beautiful, beautiful day to be outside, but I was just a little bit surprised. But I wanted to ask Brandon something. I see you're usually rocking a different some different custom threads on these, and I was wondering if there's any Doppler boys at home that want their own shirt like the one you got on right now. Can they get their own, or those exclusive?
Yeah. Oh, this I gotta see. I love it.
So there's a couple things here. I don't know where that bag of stuff went, but I'll have to get the website. Suitandtie.ca. Oh yeah, there's a you want one of these.
We got a hat too.
Yeah,
you got that that drips.
If you're interested in that,
I wouldn't mind even seeing a Brandon bobblehead.
I like it, Brandon.
Yeah.
And then continued on the VA report, something interesting, nature related more so than weather, but I have learned recently a very delicious surprise is that Virginia, I thought all the shrimping just occurred in the south of the Gulf of Mexico, that sort of thing. And as it turns out, Virginia fisheries began shrimping in 2019. They just got started with the commercial recreational shrimping out here. Oh, another Doppler boy thing there.
Like,
But anyway, I had me some delicious peel-and-eat shrimp the other day that was caught here in Virginia. Apparently, it's picking up and going big time, the Virginia shrimp industry, which is just an interesting fact. I didn't realize the shrimp were abundant in these slightly more northern Atlantic waters. And sure enough, they are. And they are good. So that's another thing. And then one other thing, for those who haven't been following Frankie as close enough as they should, I noticed there's a what might be a little bit of a trend going on. Frankie, can you tell people what the people are using a little bit of a different type of star on top of their tree this holiday season?
Really?
Can you tell us about that, Frankie? There's a different type of tree topper that people are using instead of a regular star. They're using a different type of star on their Christmas trees.
Some people use angels on top of the Christmas tree. Others use stars. Somebody used the snowman. Somebody used Santa Claus on top of the Christmas tree.
What about the photo you retweeted the other day?
It's a photo edit. It's not real. It's photo edit that the fan of mine did it.
There was a photo edit that's not real, but I'll post in the Meteorological Report chat. Somebody put a legitimate real photograph of Frankie McDonald on their tree. There was a Photoshop, and then there was an actual Christmas tree with the photo of Frankie's face on the top of their Christmas tree. There's two separate ones, but somebody legitimately put a photo of Frankie on top of their Christmas tree, which I thought was a very creative, different type of star to put on the Christmas tree.
We just had Imogen Cookie Bailey show up from Victoria. So, of course, we want to talk to her while we still have some time. But I got to ask you about, before you go, or at least sub off for a minute, you've added some lights to your Frankie McDonald shrine.
Oh, I have embellished it quite a bit here. And I brought out more. Yes. There are some that I had in storage that are now out for display here to enjoy the holidays with me here. It's a little bit more festive now.
A super fan, like the biggest of all fans. I mean,
and there's competition out there. Base guy went all the way to visit Frankie. And there's some, Ben Campbell's the one that designed these action figures. And then, of course, Sarah Soller, co-author of the book. Like, I want to go as far as to say the biggest Frankie fan out there. He's got a lot of them, but very proud of my Frankie merch collection here. I had some of the bobbleheads in a separate box, and unfortunately my light blue shirt one rather than my dark blue shirt one got a little bit scuffed up. I'm really disappointed. I'm gonna have to get another one.
Question though, how much was all that? How much did it all cost?
The bobbleheads.
What did it come to? Yeah.
The bobbleheads, on the Hall of Fame website, the Bobblehead Hall of Fame website, they have a one of each color besides one color variety pack. And I believe that's 100-something for 5 of them, if I'm not mistaken. And then there's a separate one that's not included in that. One of these darker color blue one that is more like Frankie's usual jacket is a limited run, and that one goes on Amazon for I think like $75 for just that one. And then the action figures run for like $25, but when they're sold out they go for even more on eBay. So we'll see.
Frankie is gonna get rich off you, I think.
They increase the zen of your living area, and it adds magic to your life if you don't have some Frankie bobbleheads, don't have the book, don't have some action figures. It brings a good juju, good mojo to your space, good energy.
My big problem is the action figures you cannot get delivered in British Columbia. I've tried several times to buy them, and they do not deliver, at least to where I live in British Columbia especially. They don't use the postal service, Joey. So I'm
Well,
I
could get you one, and I could order another one here. But for those listening in Canada that really, really, really want one, you might be able to catch one on an eBay auction. They do. You could catch some of the bobbleheads and action figures on eBay auctions occasionally. But I suggest if you want or thinking about getting one for a Christmas present, often they do sell out and go out of stock. So get them while I can. And there's also been many generations of the bobbleheads. So and there's only so many of each one. Like this one is the 29th of this one made, but there's only a certain number of each of these different colors that will ever be made. So, you know, get them while you can.
What does your bobblehead say, Frankie?
When I press this bobblehead, it'll say,
Hey guys, we got a new guy eating 50 hot dogs at once. That's my favorite. Imogen Cookie Bailey, we're glad to see you show up late. Better late than never. How is Victoria, British Columbia? You're coming into some more wicked winter weather. Probably not like we're seeing up here, but maybe more than you're used to.
Well, it'll never be as good as what you guys get. We get the threat, the promise, the false hope of snow, and then we get a light frost. it's not always so good. So there is that. I would like to point out that with Peter's level of fandom of Frankie, there is no danger that Pete is going to try and wear Frankie's skin. Or steal his shoes. Just saying.
I am Frankie. Walking around my fandom.
there may be at some point a written letter request for some fingernail clippings, but
come on now.
Maybe hair from his haircut, Imogen. Hair from his haircut. Zap it up.
No, that's for the lady.
$50,000 later.
I got my haircut. Gerard Combs. He's my barber in Sydney, Nova Scotia.
Frankie should do a cologne.
Yeah, see, ladies should do a cologne.
Frankie McDonald is the best conversation starter there is.
That was funny.
Talk to us about the Trailer Park Boys TikTok you.
It's like Frankie's doing a great job with things like that. Me do a tornado siren.
It was great. And
bubbles
it was
singing along. Brilliant.
Bubbles are there, the siren. And Ricky's all startled like there's a tornado about to happen.
It was
ominously
enough, a real tornado
weeks before this terrible patch of tornadoes.
I haven't really been a fan of Trailer Park Boys for quite a while. I guess I just kind of grew away from it. I was kind of into them early on and then just kind of drifted away. But then the Frankie homage tornado siren thing was just, it was such a brilliant little piece of Bubbles comedy. It was just, it revived interest in Trailer Park Boys for me. I didn't expect it. It was
Trailer
cool.
Park Boys never get old to me. I've watched all the episodes and seasons more than once. Some of the episodes three or four times.
They definitely have a diehard.
Seen it all, and even lived some of those stories.
Yeah,
I've even lived it. Brandon's got his new toque on. Brandon, Show us your new toque.
Yeah, I got this from Christmas party last week.
Oh my god, I love it. You know what? I've got a dress that would match.
That. All I have is a suit right now, but I'm probably going to be getting some more stuff as we, of course, get closer to Christmas. Like a bunch of, you know, hats and socks and maybe. You know what? You actually, of course, know what I want. I want like a Christmas suit for Christmas, like the weather, like Christmas suit, so I can have like a nice Christmas tree, like tie. I know that like they're. Is but like I can't really find it.
Wow. It says get lit on his toque, and toque is a Christmas tree. It's all flashing lights.
I had the same hat. I had the same hat like last year. I swear. all of us, like, I'm actually being honest. I had the same hat last year, like the same exact one.
Where is it?
Like, I saw the gift. What? I don't know where it is now. It's last year. I probably threw it somewhere. I don't know where the hell my stuff is from last year. It's probably, like, you know what I mean, locked away in, like, a box somewhere. I don't know where it is in, like, the basement.
It's not a hat that you're going to wear all year round. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
what do I want for Christmas? I'll tell you what.
What do you want for Christmas?
What I want is a haircut. That's what I want. I want a haircut.
I need a haircut.
This is how long I've been single, that I now have 1970s hair.
Do you know how difficult it is to find the right screenshot for you sometimes, Joey, making those compilations of screenshots for my Twitter posts?
It's
a struggle sometimes. No offense.
No, I know. Do you know how it is? How hard it is to look in the mirror some days?
I'm not trying to get you a hard time.
Frankie with his new haircut is the sexiest man on the show tonight. Some of us got some pretty bad hair today.
How does all that fit under your
hat? I like how poofy your hair is.
Huh? It is impressive.
Me?
You take off your hat, then there's a fro. I don't know how all that fits.
Yeah. You have to just make it fit. I mean, I have a pretty small head, so I mean, I have to really kind of compact the hair into one whole big hat here. That's how. And then when I kind of take it off, I mean, it's
like a poodle.
I like it long though. I like it long. It feels like my dog's like fur or like hair when you rough through it. Kind of. I mean, like I have to really moisturize my hair. Moisturize. Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, I have to just moisturize it later on, guys. I'm sorry that I didn't do it for the show. I didn't feel like it. I thought that
why
I would never take off the half of the show.
Apologize, except
because I like to look nice, but I mean, like, I feel kind of bad now.
I have to moisturize my hair.
Moisturize. How about the moist? The moist hair. The moist.
Very clean, damp boy.
Ice, baby. sorry.
We'll go with that.
I've never moisturized my hair. Definitely not. It's not something I thought you could do. I didn't know you could moisturize hair.
Forgot that.
Oh my god!
Forgot that you actually had some hair, Joey. I thought that you were just like bald under the hair for a second. I'm sorry.
Gabriel, no, I shave it every June.
Oh, okay.
I shave it every June because it's hot, and shaving I can do myself. But now that it's cold, I don't want to shave my hair off. So, you know, I occasionally like cut when it starts looking too much. But basically, it's just becoming worse and worse. And
it's also
really, really hot in this room right now, so I'm sweating profusely, to be honest. Usually, I'm in this room at night. I take my shirt off because I can't handle it. So now I'm like underneath my hat, sweating in my room, trying to make radio shows in a logging camp out in the middle of the wilderness. Oh my god! Look what I'm up against with bad hair to boot. That's why I do. That's why I'm a radio star, and why only 995 people subscribe to my YouTube channel. You can catch the radio version of this show, the video version of this radio show, on my YouTube, Joey Only Caribou Weather Dude. I am 5 away from 1,000 subscribers.
Cool.
That was my year goal, start a YouTube channel and get 1,000 subscribers. So that's about to happen. And when you get 1,000 subscribers, what happens when you get 1,000 subscribers, Frankie McDonald?
100,000 subscribers, I get this YouTube Silver Plate Button Award. 1 million subscribers is Gold Plate Button Award. 10 million subscribers is Diamond Plate Button Award. 50 million subscribers is Ruby Plate Button Award.
1,000, you get to monetize your channel. You could monetize it and become a partner. Is the only perk to 1,000 subscribers.
Oh yeah, you're gonna.
But you can give it to YouTube, take it away. I have one channel with over 1,000 subscribers, and I racked up some earnings on the advertiser thing, and then I accidentally violated TOS, and then they didn't pay me my earnings and still put ads on my videos.
They are really... YouTube is a terrible platform that way. Like, they do weird stuff like that. I mean...
Yeah, just gotta be careful. Just gotta be careful.
10 years ago, YouTube was different 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Very much so.
Oh, yeah. Very
I like the 10 years ago YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
I've had YouTube has reset my video counters so many times, and I have never been able to figure out why. I had one video go seriously viral, and like 2 months later, they reset it, the view count to zero.
They make it's more difficult nowadays for new creators to gain traction on there. I noticed they changed it. So when you look at recently uploaded videos for any search, they prioritize YouTube partners and they don't show all the videos anymore. If you search as like a certain search term.
I got my YouTube channel since June 14th, 2011.
This is Frankie's second YouTube channel, correct?
Yes. Dogs
of Wolf. Oh, really?
Uploaded June 14th, 2011.
Why did you close the first one down?
Back then I did not know how to ignore trolls back in the day.
Back then I
didn't know how to ignore it. Now I ignore it.
I made a brand new video called Is the Government Controlling Our Weather? And it's about HARP and cloud seeding and things like this. And a guy called Da Flat Earth Guy commented that I must be oblivious or lying. And I thought that you're right, Flat Earth Guy. I've been lying. The Earth is flat, at least in Brooks, Alberta, it is.
Yes, flat.
I like the idea.
So it's
flat. I can't accept it, but I like it as a concept because I like the idea of being able to just shove people off, or to get like a whole herd of people, and you know, have a huge party at the edge of the Earth, knowing that Darwinism can happen if the right people get drunk enough, they'll just fall off the edge on their own. They'll be part.
See you on the other side.
Eventually.
I like the way you think.
The upside down.
I like the idea that they'll fall off and just.
So our hour is up. So we're pretty much out of time. Frankie McDonald, how do people find you on the internet?
My Twitter is at Frankie McDee. My Facebook is Frankie McDonald. And my Instagram is FrankieMcD1984. And my TikTok is FrankieDown1984. My Clapper is FrankieDown1984. My Twitch is FrankieDown1984. My Snapchat is FrankieMCDON. My LinkedIn is FrankieMcDown. And my YouTube channel is Dogs and Wolves.
Wow.
You've been listening to the Meteorological Report. Comedy plus meteorology equals comedorology. I'm Joey Olney. You can find my YouTube channel, Joey Olney, the Caribou Weather Dude. And that's where the video version of this show will be up, plus all my wilderness adventures as well. You can hear this show. Thank you to our producers and programmers and all that at CFER 88.7 FM, Prince George, who first got the show off the ground. The show comes out of my group, Interior Weather and Wilderness Watchers, here in British Columbia with 14,000 members. If you want British Columbia interior weather news, please find us on Facebook. And thank you to all the good staff and people at CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. We will be back next week with more good content for you. You've been hearing Frankie McDonald, the infamous weatherman from Sydney, Nova Scotia, Gabriel Berardo, who's the rapid weatherman down in Southern Ontario, Peter Galenko in Virginia Beach, Imogen Cookie Bailey just joined us late in the show, and she's down in Victoria, British Columbia, and of course, radio weatherman Brandon Houck, who's got, what do you got in your hand to close the hour with, Brandon?
My toque.
Oh, it's still your team. Okay. It's just tripping me in. He's
trying to make you. Got your coat on, yeah. All right, sorry.
See you next week, everybody. Good
night. Yeah. Best of luck. Yeah, I'm Frankie Dong. You're listening to Comedian Meteorological Report with Joey Olney.